Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Previously on Dungeons and Dragons.
Friends, this could be the windmill that we are looking for.
I think you need wind for a windmill to work, so why would they even have built it here? Anyway, this place is super creepy.
It looks like an old windmill. Got a real creepo vibe to it. That's about what you detect.
Help! Help!
Does anybody hear that?
Yeah, we've got to go, and I'm already, like, heading in that direction.
You see a man caught in quicksand. Thank goodness you guys came by.
What were you doing out here all by yourself?
I heard there was gold here.
Yes, I heard there was gold here, too. He's following the rumor.
I'm Glim. What's your name?
My name is Esau.
What does it say?
The letter says, "Don't trust me," and it's signed Esau the Miller.
Nah. Fuck.
If you eat the mushrooms, you stay and you be my friend.
You have to tell the truth.
No, I am. You have to eat the mushrooms, just like Hillip here did.
Hillip, did you eat the mushrooms?
I was so hungry and he said they were tasty.
And how do you feel?
I got a little rumbly in my tumbly, but I'm feeling okay.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Amy Moore.
I am, as I am always.
I am.
Yes. I play Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot halfling rogue.
And Tom Laird.
Yes, I am also here. I am the Eternal. And I play Moot. He's a half-orc wild magic sorcerer.
And Carla Maxted.
Are any of us really here? I think we are. I think I am. I play Glim, a dragonborn paladin.
Carla asking the important questions.
This is a real deep,
it's a deep
start.
One. It's going to be a real deep episode. No dick jokes this time, friends. Sorry. Just kidding. We won't make it 3 minutes without a dick joke.
Yeah. Hell no. Yeah.
Speaking of thick...
I should have said we won't make it 3 seconds without a dick joke.
This tracks.
Yep. Yeah.
Tracks.
Hey, where we've got crazy cool new things going on very soon is over on Patreon. But what's consistent about Patreon is you get an episode dedicated to you. Like today's episode, which is dedicated to Chris LeBlanc.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
You're awesome.
And now, fuck it, let's play D&D.
Okay.
Yeah, let's.
Moot, Glim, and Sully find yourselves in the middle of a seemingly spooky forest situation in a windmill town. Maybe it's spooky, maybe it's
not. Is it only seemingly spooky?
We don't know.
Have we just built this up in our minds?
Well, we did find a talking skull.
It's true.
Yep.
That would increase the spookification of this forest.
I'm going to have to remember this accent here. Excuse me. Esau has just fled into the forest. Before you, behind you, at the top of a staircase, lies a wooden chest, and Hillip yells out, So we maybe check the chest out later then, as we run after the crazy guy?
Yeah, Hillip, I think let's chase the crazy guy first that was just going to kill you.
Yeah.
Then we'll come and check for the treasure.
He was going to kill me. I forgot that.
He didn't. Mm. It wasn't. He is not a good dude. He locked us in the windmill, remember? I mean, you were part of that, too.
I mean, you went into the windmill. I didn't see him lock it or anything.
No, but, like, it's know he locked the windmill on us.
If you're so worried about it, I can stay up here with it. I'll stay up here and I'll guard it. It'll be fine. You guys go on ahead.
Okay, we'll go on ahead. You're gonna go up the steps there and guard the chest?
Solly, maybe we should all stick together and...
I feel like we need all the help we can get.
Also, maybe we should, skedaddle. I think he's pretty far ahead.
Okay. All right. All of you, unless somebody says otherwise, go run forward through the trees. As you enter through the thick wooded area, you come out after 20 to 30 paces to a pathway. Everybody make probably just a perception check at the moment.
And perception check coming right up.
And perception check. Minus one. No, sorry. 11.
Just minus one?
I was
one?
Just going to give you minus one. My modifier.
Oof. 11.
Sorry, I dropped all my dice on the ground.
Yeah, but which one rolled the best?
Well, I didn't really count them because they went on the ground. That's a 9.
Wow.
So you three come out immediately and you begin to turn left, and Hillip, he's like, guys, there's the footsteps that go off to the right here. Do we want to follow the footsteps?
Probably good. Sure. Thanks, Hillip.
I mean, if you want to be really obvious about it. By the way, are you from Sweden, or are you German, or?
We don't remember exactly. But,
yeah, okay, that's cool. No, it's fine. I mean, origins, like, what does it even matter?
I mean, it's pretty darn close, I think. So we're going, then?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, you had a good plan.
You head right, and the footsteps take a quick left down the path. You follow them to a dead end where they go and terminate into the trees.
Well, what's your plan now, Hillip?
I mean, I'm out of footsteps.
Foot.
Can I go to the edge where the footsteps end and do another perception check to see if I... my dice, like, into the sky?
Need a perception check for that, Carla. You did.
I have another.
If you are looking, you can either do a survival or an investigation check. If you're looking for which, you know, pathways and following.
Let's do
and stuff.
Survival, because I have a plus one on that. Nice. Which brings me to a 5.
Ooh.
Gotta find that other die.
Hold on, is this just like a solid tree? Like a big old tree at the end? Or is it like
it's
like
just
a thicket
more wooded
of trees?
Area.
It's just not a path.
It looks like the footsteps just, ended at the edge of the path, and it just goes into thicker brush.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume you're seeing if...
Yeah, I was trying to see if there was, like,
trail.
You know, a broken twig or something. But I rolled a 5, so I don't see any. I just stand there with my eyes closed.
You presume it just is in there. You're very confident that it went straight through.
What do you guys think?
Well, so, like, we're going after him because
he's a bad guy.
Right. And
he did something bad to all the people from this town, right? I mean, he certainly was going to do something bad to Hillip.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's keep going. The more we talk about it, the further away he's getting and the more running we have to do.
Okay, so we're just going based off of glimpses?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
I mean, maybe so someone, else.
Someone else can see something or hear something.
In character, Glim, you're very confident that he went into the brush and that you can follow the path.
What were our options, Russ? We got
survival or investigation.
All right. Well, I will go for investigation. Another nine. Mm-hmm. I'm on fire.
Crushing it with the rolls today.
Yeah.
Also very confident in Glim's decision to keep going.
I'm like big and tough. I'll clear like a pretty big path. So maybe I'll go first and you guys follow me.
Seems like a great idea.
And I just start trudging through the brambles or whatever I've just walked into.
You follow in where you see the footsteps terminate, and it kind of is clear that things are have been disrupted, perhaps by someone. After a couple minutes of walking through this thick brush, it comes out into a large open clearing.
What do we see in the clearing? Just clear? Just nothing?
Can I roll
just,
for perception?
Yeah, everybody roll a perception.
Oh, 13. 12. I'm like going up by ones.
Ooh, 12 again. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wow.
We're really nailing this level one character shit.
Which is nice. Yeah. Like we're really all seeing, we're experiencing it in the same way. It's just that we're missing half of what we're supposed to be seeing.
So the clearing is a large circular clearing. Looks like maybe it was, looking for a different word, but I'm just going to go with clearing because looks like it was perhaps cleared artificially to make this this opening in the trees. You don't see any footsteps as if, you know, your trail had ended somewhere perhaps in the trees that you didn't notice. A little further ahead, it's mostly like dirt and mud, different areas. You see what looks like a mound, but not like a rock, but just like a mound within the dirt.
Like a dirty lump.
Looks like it's
like a filled in grave.
Out of place. You don't know.
Okay, let me go check out the dirt mound.
I walk also into the clearing and I'm like, yeah, it's obvious that somebody made this here. You can, and I bend down and I touch the soil and I was like, you can tell by just the composition of the dirt.
You are very smart about the gardening and the clearing of the trees. Did you perhaps be a landscaper?
I did some landscapery, sure.
Cool.
I rolled a 20 as I investigate the dirt mound, so I hope it's fucking something good.
It's a mound of dirt.
As you walk over, how close are you getting to this dirt mound?
I mean, is it, it's like on the side of the clearing?
It's kind of in the middle.
No, I mean, I probably just walk up to it.
All right, make a dexterity saving throw.
Pardon my snort. Meanwhile, Sully's like, that over there looks like a really, really good compost pile.
Guys, I rolled a one.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
And I have minus one, so it's minus one.
Where are the other three standing? Have you followed with Glim, or are you're discussing landscape?
I'm on the edge of the clearing,
Mihalik's following you around. Yeah. Moot.
I was listening to this landscaping conversation, and taking copious notes.
You three make a perception check before I describe what happens.
I got a nat one.
Wow, you guys are on fire.
It's really good.
This one's good. I got a 16.
So Moot, Hillup and Sully, you're very engaged in whatever you're doing. But Moot, you see out of the corner of your eye, three arms, small clawed arms, shoot up and grab at Glim's arm as she kind of bends down to see what this mound is. And they begin pulling at her, and she is now pulled to the ground, shoulder deep in the dirt, which has kind of turned to a mud slurry around her. Roll for initiative.
Are they still, like, hanging on to her now that they've, like, pulled her down? Am I still able to see the arms?
It's like they grabbed her forearm and are now, again, Glim is now, like, up to her shoulder on one side.
Okay, so I can't see their arms anymore.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. 9, and that's with my plus 5 initiative bonus. Wow. You guys.
8.
17.
I have such low initiative. Jesus. Like, I have a minus 1 with this character. It's a real difference. Yeah. Like,
welcome to my world.
Also, I have 11 hit points, so I might die.
Moot, you're up first.
Oh, all right, then.
You're surprised with your 17 versus our 9 and 8?
I mean, sure.
Come on. Well, makes sense. You saw it happen.
This is true.
Go save the day.
So you're approximately, if you stayed kind of where Sully and Hillip are, you're about 30 feet from the center of this clearing where you see Glim now pulled to the ground.
Okay.
Glim, you feel small clawed hands grasping at your arm and pulling you with, for their size, an unusual amount of strength. And it feels like you're being, like, vacuum suctioned into the ground.
She has accidentally placed her hand in an underground penis pump.
It's not my bag, baby.
We may have just seen Austin Powers. Yeah, yeah. It was real recent.
Okay, I would like to, as I make my way over towards Glim in order to help her out, I would like to cast Mage Hand in the form of a crab claw.
Okay.
And I would like to add this Mage Hand's ability to lift things to my strength to try and pull Glim out.
Okay, so it's got a 10-pound maximum.
Yeah, so it's just a nice little bonus for me.
Perfect.
Just a little add 10 pounds of force.
Absolutely. So you're trying to pull her back?
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to do? Okay, let's go just a straight strength or I guess athletics.
All right. I've got plus 1 to athletics. Let's do that. Yep.
Oh,
do I get plus 2 because of my mage hand?
You roll with advantage.
Oh,
just
okay.
Because, you know, you've got a motivational support.
I'll roll again. Ooh, 16.
You run over and you just begin pulling on her leg, I assume?
Just whatever I can grab. Belt, leg, whatever.
All right. So without discussing anything that's happening... In any way, shape, or form.
Make some sort of startled yelp and run over there.
Yeah, that's cool.
What does that yelp sound like?
Hey!
I like it. So you begin to pull on, and Glim, you feel Moot grab you and then begin pulling you out, and you feel your arm coming free as you feel scratches going down your forearm. You take one piercing damage.
Oh, no, that's so much.
It's literally 10% of my life.
Oh my God.
The creatures, it's their turn. And Glim, you feel the grasp begin to try to pull you. Make a strength saving throw.
13.
You feel them trying to pull you down, but you manage to hold your position with the help of Moot at your feet there. Moot, you see one of these creatures that you're unsure what it is. It is what you see is a winged, almost bat-like creature. Long, pointed nose, and it's dripping mud off of it. It's got long, pointed claws and big, beady, glowing eyes. And it comes over to you and begins what you can only describe as belching mud all over you. And you need to make a dexterity saving throw. Please.
Ew.
That does not sound great.
Oh, pretty gross.
I feel like Sully's not seen any of this yet.
Well, then I got a job as a landscaper. That is a 14, Russ.
You are not restrained. You are covered in belch mud from this creature, though.
Ew.
Belch mud, gross.
And it is Sully's turn.
Sully's in the middle of explaining, like... Well, first you got to tear up the sod, and then you got to make sure you level out the... As I hear the, probably, I don't know, throw-up sounds of...
Not the scream
or
the yelp.
No,
but the throw-up
sound. Well, it didn't sound very... You know, it wasn't super urgent. It was like, maybe it's like, hey, a nickel. I don't know.
We've been over this before. There's other people in my house. I can't start yelling about things.
So I turn over and I see this muddy,
big-eyed,
winged creature.
You see Glim kind of up to her elbow, still in the mud, claws and hands pulling at her forearm, Moot holding on to her foot or her leg, and this winged, bat-like, mud-dripping creature belching on top of Moot.
What the? And I walk forward about 10 feet.
Slowly.
Yeah, I'm like...
real, like, saunter.
Well, I'm very, like, out of nowhere. Like, we were just discussing landscaping. I take out my short bow, and I'm going to shoot it into, because I see that Glim is all, like, up to her elbows and crap. I'm going to shoot it into the pile of dirt that is holding her.
Okay. So, like, the mud pit around her arm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say roll at disadvantage because you don't really know what you're aiming for.
Okay. Well, how about my disadvantage is this one, a 16.
So you fire your arrow in, Glim, it kind of barely just misses your arm, and you hear, Glim, you hear kind of a muffled, like, yelp as another one of these creatures, you feel it release your arm and shoot up out of the mud and begin to stare down Sully.
The fuck are these things?
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
The ugliest sin.
And that's all your turn?
We're level one characters, Rust. Can't really do much else.
Ain't nobody got two actions.
Right? Sully do sort of like cabbage patch dance at being successful.
I'll do a backflip and back up 10 feet.
Back to where you started.
Back handspring, right. Yeah. And then I go, do you see that? To Hillip.
That's crazy stuff. It's Glim's turn.
Okay, so now there's two in front of me.
So there's one directly in front of you that's turned towards Sully. There's one that's more over top of Moot, and you can feel kind of one...
Oh, there's still one on my arm.
Still one on your arm, and then just the suction of the earth around it.
Okay. I am going to use my fire breath on the one that is standing in front of me that just popped up.
Sure. Perfect. Cool.
Do it.
So.
The mud is all flammable and we're all dead.
Oh, shit. Speak
DC
for yourself.
DC saving throw.
DC of.
She'll let you know when you roll.
Right? Yeah, totally. Let's say 11.
Dexterity?
Yeah.
That's going to be a 19.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, then it's still going to take. It's 9, so it takes half, so 4. Oh, these little baby characters. Oh, boy.
God bless
them.
So
you look up, and this is going to be the first time that anybody has seen your fire breath. So describe to me what your fire breath looks like as you aim towards this mud creature.
Okay, well, I think, so it is because of my brass ancestry. That's why I have fire as my breath weapon. So I think it would have that kind of tone to it, like a ruddy copperish kind of tone as opposed to like orange or red or blue flame.
A copper tone?
It's like a little
don't
baby
get burned.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
So that's what it looks like.
Can we react to that?
Yeah, I think everybody should make a
wowza check.
Wowza, like a wisdom saving throw.
Like a mind blown.
Yeah. None of you have seen it before.
Well, that's only a 5.
It's an 11 for me.
Hillip and Moot are fine. Like you see this, you're wowed by it and like, oh, I thought she was not a real dragon. I don't know. You describe how you want to do it. But Sully, you are I'm going to say frightened at the moment.
Well, holy shit! I turn around.
Well, Sully, she's a dragonborn. What did you expect?
We'll not fire from her mouth. It's where all your nice words come from.
Hillop's turn, if you are... No, you... Yeah, you... do you want to try and, like, pull your arm out or anything?
Oh, yeah, I guess I can move as well as do an attack. So, yes, I will also try to pull my arm out further. Can would I do, like, a strength check to do that, or...?
Yeah. Yep.
She actually shows her arm further back
in. My rolls tonight are hilarious. That is an 8.
As you do your flame breath, you feel like a burst of strength and you kind of pull up. But in that moment, you feel the force of the mud, the suction of the mud, reef your arm back in and you're back up to your shoulder.
Oh, no. Physics got you.
Physics.
Science, bitches.
Hillop screams, I will save you! And he comes running over with his dagger and he swipes at the one above Moot. And that's going to be an 18.
I want to use your dice.
No, you're going to ruin it. and that's going to be 5 piercing damage to that one. And he is squaring off with this mud creature now. Back to Moot.
All right. So I'm like covered in this like mud vomit. Is a sentence I thought I would say today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah, it feels like normal mud, but yeah, you're just covered in it.
Okay, and is this guy, like, within reach of me?
Yeah, I mean, he got struck by Hillop, so he's within, like, dagger's reach, and he was nearest to you, so yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You're still holding on to Glim at the start of your turn there.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should, Yeah, I guess I should probably let go of Glim if I'm going to do some sort of attack, right? Because I can't do both, probably.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to try and just pull Glim out some more because I still got my mage hand in effect, so I got a little added strength going.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll reef a little harder and get the crab claw to do the same.
Okay. Yes. So what did we say last time? Advantage?
Yes. No, yeah. Yes, with advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I probably won't need advantage, but I'll roll just in case I crit. No, but it was a 19.
You give one hard pull, and Glim, you, both of you hear, like a loud suction pop as Glim, you see in front of you claws scrambling up from this mud, and another one of these creatures begin to lift itself from the mud, but you have pulled Glim free. So Glim, you're now prone, but you are free from the mud at the moment.
And maybe I'll, like, do a little action roll to the side so I'm, like, not right in front of one of these things?
Yeah, he's engaged in combat with Hillop, so yeah, we can say you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already muddy. I might as well go for it.
Sure, sounds good.
Thanks, Moot!
I got you.
It is the creature's turns. The first one attacks Hillop. That's going to be a 16 with its fists, and he is going to take 2 bludgeoning damage.
Just picturing this little, like, little boxer, little bat.
Oh, yeah, you want a piece of me?
Totally.
The one that got blasted by the flame breath, it shrieked in the moment, but then turns back to Sully and zips over really fast. Uh-oh. And
probably with advantage.
You need to... Why?
Well, because I can't look anywhere in Glim's direction.
Oh, right. You turned.
So.
Yeah.
Because I'm frightened.
Make a dexterity saving throw with a disadvantage.
Ick. Oh, but it was a 19.
That's all right. The next one's going to be even better.
No, it's a 10.
Oh. Tried to will it into existence. No. Yeah.
Tried to make it a 20.
It's a 17. Oh, I've got crazy dex.
So you two get belched this mud over. You feel it just kind of drench your back.
I go, ah! Like I would, and like Amy would.
Not me, Glim, not me!
Aww.
And the other one pulls itself up out of the mud and swings its fists at you, Glim, and critically fails. So it actually falls to the ground and kind of gets sucked back in and absorbed. No, that's actually an advantage for it, so I'm not going to do that.
It just looks like a real dork.
Does it knock it, like, her loose?
Pulls up and then it's like.
Phew. Well, she's already free. Loose, but right. it becomes running, scrambling at you, and I'm going to say it hits your shield, and is going to take 2 bludgeoning damage on the impact on your shield.
Suck on that,
Sully.
Can I make a wisdom?
Yeah, at the end of your turn. So you have to use your full movement to run away from the creature.
Okay.
Which is Glim.
I run 25 feet from Glim.
Which will fire the mephit to be able to hit you. That's going to be a 17.
Okay.
You're going to take 2 bludgeoning damage as it swings at you with its fist as you run away.
Ow!
So now, are you running further into the clearing? I guess kind of around the edge?
Yeah, I'm running around the edge. Trees? I'm doing the,
okay, you're the doing gauntlet here. Okay, so you're 30 feet away from where you were.
Yeah.
And now you can make your wisdom saving throw.
17!
Yay!
So you are no longer frightened.
Now can I have an action?
Nope.
It is at the end of your turn.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Glim. You see Sully run screaming, waving mud behind him. This thing just hit the... You're prone. It hit your shield and bounced off and is now behind you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stand up.
So that's half your movement.
Okay. That's okay because it's right there, right?
Yeah.
Dope. I am going to hit it with that vicious-looking war pick.
You got it.
Get to see the war pick in action.
Do we, though? Because it's an 11.
You show it. Do it. Mm-hmm. Look at what I have.
So war pick, we said, that has the pick at the end. And then what does the other end look like?
No, it like is just hammer? It is just one end. It's like a pickaxe, basically.
Right. Yeah. But yeah.
So
okay,
it's just like.
Perfect. I know what you're talking about.
It's just the shaft.
No? Yeah.
And then a pick and then sort of like a block at the other end.
Right. Okay, cool.
So you can't say anything remotely sexual without like an innuendo pause.
Right.
Maybe. Every time.
So you.
Also, this dice.
Do you have it like.
It's going back in my bag. Fuck this dice.
It's the worst. Do you have it like on your back? Like where it is originally?
I think I would have had it out because we were like chasing a bad guy through the woods. So.
Sure. Yeah, you pick it up and you stand up and you swing down and strike this thing square in the head. Roll for damage.
Oh, I actually hit it.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, what? Fuck. Thought for sure.
I know, there's a lot of lead up.
We're very surprised.
For success. I was just trying to get the description down, you know.
See, I don't even have my dice ready. I shunned that other dice.
That's what mattered.
Yeah.
15 damage.
What?
What?
Yeah. Because it's
what
too.
What do you roll for
oh,
damage?
Oh, no, I'm a liar. I'm a liar. I'm a liar.
That's New Lara's character sheet.
No, it's not. It still is 12.
Oh, because well,
it's 1d8 plus 5. I rolled 2d8s plus
what?
5. I kept the higher one. I can re-roll it if you want, right?
That's awesome.
You're good. No. You're good. Tell me how you kill this mud creature.
How big are they?
Like quite literally the size of a bat, maybe a little bit bigger.
Okay, then I think I literally probably like pierce through it into the ground. Because, like, I'm big, and this thing is, like, a big pickaxe, so...
Your axe strikes into it, and it explodes with a burst of sticky mud. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Well, I have great dex. 8.
You get covered in it, and you feel like you are restrained as you try to lift your feet. You can't move. And you can make that saving throw that you are restrained until your next turn.
Okay.
Your next turn. Sully. So you're now about 40, 50 feet away.
Right. Because I ran.
No, you went back. You're 60 feet away.
I ran. Yeah. I stop running and I turn around real embarrassed. Like, and I was like, there was a bee. And I still have my short bow, so I let loose an arrow at the other one that's in the air.
The one that came towards you and belched over you?
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. 25.
Dang.
Wow.
But not that impressive when you know an 11 would hit it, though.
Well, roll damage.
I will.
Still impressive, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's 9 damage of the piercing variety, I'm assuming.
You turn it around and nonchalantly fire this arrow into this creature, and it is far enough away that you don't have to make a dexterity saving throw as it explodes and you see mud go everywhere.
Look at that! Gross. You guys okay?
So far, so good.
I'm a little muddy.
I walk toward them for my movement, my 25 feet.
I don't know why I gave you a turn. It's not your turn.
Well, too late.
Too late.
Yep. I did so good.
It is Hillop's turn.
If I wasn't having such a bad day, you would have rewound that on me, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't have. I gave it to you. I went out of order. I went the other way instead of down in initiative order. Who does that? Hillop's turn, and he swings wide as he sees the first explosion go and hit Glim, but misses. Back to Moot.
So there's one of these things left?
Yes, just the one that you and Hillop are fighting.
Okay. And I'm a little ways away, correct? Action roll distance?
You did. I mean, you could easily get back there. I don't think you action
roll. How far did you action roll?
I mean, depends on the action roll, right? It could have been real
far.
Was
there a slight decline? You like rolled down a hill?
As you wish.
Exactly.
Okay, I will cast Ray of Frost towards this Mamma Jamma.
Sweet.
Wait, Russ said that was sweet. I don't like that.
Sweet. What other shit's gonna happen?
What do I have to do or you have to do for that?
I have to roll a ranged attack spell against you.
Do it.
Samut, shoots his hand out towards this other mud creature thing, and a beam of, a white-blue light kind of streaks towards the creature and hits it, because I rolled a 19.
It does hit it. Roll damage.
Excellent. That is 6 damage.
So from Hillop's view, this thing gets struck by this beam of this white light, this magical aura, and it begins to freeze from its feet up and spreads out and then explodes in his face. But because it's frozen, it's no longer sticky. It's piercing.
Sorry, Hillop.
So he's going to make a dexterity saving throw, which was a crit 1.
Oops.
Crit 1. So he's going to take 2 piercing damage to his face.
Remember when you shot
Not
him
the
last
money.
Time?
No.
Why are you so mean
that?
To him? Poor Hillop.
My God! Oh! This hurts so bad. The mud spikes in my face. It's where I make my money.
It's the money
That's okay.
Maker.
People dig scars. It's fine.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
That's not what my portraitist told me.
Had you not mentioned he's this beautiful, beautiful man?
I told you he had a sweet mustache.
You're right.
And he was wearing quite, everywhere else.
Quite the outfit.
I don't think that piercing will affect his mustache. Did it slice half of it off?
Yeah.
That's never going to grow back the same.
Nope.
No, it's like he's missing skin below it. It's like, it's real. He doesn't know it yet, but and now you're out of combat. And Hillop is grasping his face. Glim, you managed to become unstuck.
Hey, great.
I saunter over to them. Well, that was crazy. That was crazy. Hey, you got fire in yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I should have warned you or told you. It's just where I'm from, everyone kind of can do something like that. I didn't realize I should have warned you, but I'm sorry if I frightened you.
Frightened? I wasn't frightened. There was a bee?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we have seen a lot of those, so that seems like a very logical explanation.
Moot writes a note in his notepad that says, Sully afraid of fire? Question mark.
You're going to have all the dirt on us, and then you're just going to write a tell-all at the end.
I love it.
Are you keeping an actual notebook of what he keeps?
Of the things
I'm doing
notebook?
My best to.
Oh, that's
okay, that's good. Yep. So what were those things? The things that with the muddy and the flappy and the... Pfft?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think those are the natural predator, the dirt bat.
So it's a dirt bat. You know this because of the landscaping?
Oh yeah. Sometimes we found dirt bat mounds.
Oh, it's not like a nest. It's a mound.
Yeah, and they, you know, sometimes when a place is cleared artificially, like we see here, sometimes the dirt bats will come and try to make mounds and their homes, and they're very territorial.
Deception and check.
I got one. You can let me talk. It's a nat one.
No one believes a single thing she's saying. Even Hillip starts to believe you, but then as you keep going, he's like,
"Well, my details get fuzzy."
He leans into Moot, and he's like, "I think he's blowing the smoke up our butts."
For someone who's afraid of fire, yes, he's blowing a lot of smoke right now.
So much smoke.
And so the territorial, and I'm not surprised that we had a bit of a kerfuffle with them.
Thank you so much, Sully, for all of that really good information.
A lot of knowledge there.
I feel like we've kind of lost the bad guy here. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think we were not chasing the bats. We were chasing a man, a human man, or something very similar with the boots and the clothes.
Yeah.
The fur?
Mm. So.
And the fur, maybe.
Should we keep trying to find him, or should we go back and see what's in that treasure chest? Because he's probably going to come back for it.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we go back and see what's in the treasure chest.
I would love to see what's in that treasure chest.
Yeah, I guess we don't really know where he went from here on out, so we might as well go back.
And if he kept running, I mean, he could be who knows how far away.
Or maybe he looped around and he's back there now.
Exactly.
Welcome back to the middle. Nobody else jumped in. It's me again.
If we just wait long enough, Russ will do it.
I didn't want to do it. And then, because like I'm just an extension of Russ over here, I was like, Tom or Carla might want their voice in there.
We both just froze looking at each other like, are you going to, or should I? Do you? No. Okay,
it's often
Russ
better
it is. It's
if
the middle
both
with
of
Russ.
You, it's often better if both of you jump on, you know, just jump on top.
Yep.
And then,
you know, like the song, Jump On It. Jump on it.
Is that what that song's about? You know,
absolutely. Oh, you know what else you should jump on? This contest that we have that's only on for the next 3 days. See that segue?
That was amazing.
Segue.
That was amazing. It really was.
Baller. Should do those segues more often. But you can win a copy of the Ghosts of Salt Marsh. All you got to do is share the post for this episode over on Facebook. It's linked down in the description. Or on Twitter. Share this episode or any episode that you're like, yeah, I love that episode, using the Dumb Dragon Cast hashtag. And then on August 31st, after that day is over.
So on September 1st, let's say.
So on September 1st, as that day begins, we will announce the winner of that contest.
Just so no one thinks Russ is going to stay up till midnight to stay up to award a winner, he will not. He will do it in the morning of September 1st.
I mean, all the names are still going to be there. It's still going to make sense. It'll be fine.
But enter, and hopefully it'll be you, because Ghost of Salt Marsh. Dope.
Right? Pirates.
Super cool.
Pirates.
And September 1st is a pretty cool day as well. Not only because we're giving away that sweet book, but because we are launching some new Patreon tiers, and we'll have a little episode coming out running down everything, but we're just going to give you a little sneak a peek at some cool stuff that we've got coming up in that. We've got a new show starting in January.
What?
Yeah.
Did anybody tell you guys about that?
First time hearing
it. No, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Perfect. So we have a new show starting in January. It's called Facing Fate. Some of our current patrons have heard the first, you know, half of the first season. But we're going to be rolling that out with all new original music, all the new artwork, all the new stuff, redone, all good, with new episodes going along with that exclusively for patrons as part of this new rollout.
It's going to be baller.
Mm. Plus some extra bonus monthly episodes, one of which Tom runs ongoing.
Yeah, the adventures of, and it's Russ, Amy, and Carla playing completely different characters.
So different, so fun. And then also we're going to have extra, extra bonus monthly stuff. You know what? I think we're going to be releasing like 1,000 episodes a month.
That sounds about right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's probably a little bit too much of us.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, like I said last time, they should buckle in. Like now I'm going to tell you, like, strap in.
Because that's all I'm saying.
All kinds of good stuff coming.
So keep an eye on patreon.com/dumbdragoncast on September 1st. And in your feed, there's going to be a little shorty episode coming out explaining everything that we're doing differently. So thank you for listening. We'll get you back to the episode. Here's some cool promos of some cool stuff that we're going to be doing.
So cool.
So cool. As you turn to look at which way to go, you are uncertain. Everybody make a survival check at disadvantage.
Disadvantage.
Oh, man.
So that was a 19.
That's a 7.
Oh, that was a 16.
And that was a 14. Okay, how about a
13
6?
And a 12. That was respectable.
That's good. Glim and Moot, you're fairly certain about which way to go, the way that you had come into this clearing. Sully and Hillip begin walking another direction, thinking that they know which way to go.
Guys, I'm pretty sure it's this way.
Like, yeah, I seem to think that it's this way, too.
Yeah, you notice, but, like, remember how I came through and I kind of knocked over all the brush? And it's definitely a wider path kind of going this way.
Right, yeah.
Well, that makes sense, sure.
Sure,
okay. I was just looking at the foliage.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I mean, it kind of looks like it's open over there. But okay, yeah, we follow you. Okay. Seems like there's still very topsy-turvy in here.
Does seem like that.
I bet it's haunted.
I mean,
why do you keep saying things like that?
That's very scary. You're the one that brought us into the spooky haunted forest.
That's true. This is all your fault, man.
I thought there was going to be some money.
Well,
there
still might be. Let's not lose hope.
You buy yourself a new half a mustache.
What? What's wrong with my mustache?
Onward!
As Moot is making like the don't mention it sign.
Something's wrong with my mustache?
Let's head back to that treasure chest.
Hillip realizes.
Montage of us walking back.
No, you make it back just fine out the way you came and back to the base of the staircase, which appears untouched since the last time that you were there. So really, like, how bad is it? I can feel that there's a piece missing.
It's just a really, really small piece. You get yourself a little bit of beaver fur.
It's a beaver fur. It's a
glue it on.
Same texture as the regular.
Oh yeah. Okay. No one will know.
What's everybody doing?
I'm skipping up these stairs. Sully wants to get paid.
All right.
Sully came for the treasure.
Sure. Yeah.
Are we able to roll any sort of check to see if there's any sort of visible markings on this chest or the surrounding, like, feet around it?
Yes. You bound up the stairs before anything else happens. You've already said
it. I probably do, okay. Yeah.
So as Sully begins bounding up the stairs, Moot, you are more than welcome to do an investigation check, Glim, as well, if you so desire. And Sully, roll a d8.
I got a 12 for investigation.
I can't find my d8, so I don't have to roll.
Oh, wow. That's a loophole we can use?
I rolled 3. A 10 for investigation, so not great. But I do feel like I would, maybe I would be standing, you know, with my war pick, like, scanning the periphery, trying to see if Esau's lurking.
Moot, you, as you both are entering, Hillip is asking about his mustache. Sully begins bounding up the stairs. Moot, you are looking around the staircase and you see another skull off and to the right of the staircase. And as you move towards it, you hear kind of a as you look up the stairs and Sully is gone.
They're going to have keistered the whole chest. It's all mine.
Roll another d8.
That's the one.
You're now a demigod.
Hold on. Yes. Hold on.
Hold on.
Is this a saving throw?
No. Oh. This is just a D8.
because I have
this
that
is a
lucky
random
thing.
Table throw that Russ made.
This is a yeah. random table. So Sully, gone. Sully, you find yourself back on the far side of the bridge.
The fuck?
Back to Moot.
Now I saw Sully disappear, correct?
You heard and then looked up and did not see him disappear, but no longer see him.
I look towards Glim and Hillip and did what? Where'd Sully go?
What do you mean? And I turn and look up the stairs like he was just.
I heard a popping noise and then he was gone. I don't know what happened.
I was busy trying to find the beavers.
Is this skull still near me, Russ?
Yes, so you had kind of made it to, but had not moved to pick it up yet.
Okay, same sort of skull looks-wise as we found before?
Yeah, it looks like a human skull, similar as the last one.
Okay, I will, I'll roll an Arcana check on it, just to see if I get, like, the same sort of vibe from the other one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 13.
I don't remember what I told you the last time, but you get that exact same kind of vibe.
Perfect. Sully yells, I found another skull. I think I'll pick it up. See if this one says anything, too. So he picks it up.
You pick it up and hold it in your hands, kind of looking it over. And then it seemingly moves to stare at you and says, in the graveyard, 1, 2, 3. Back to Sully.
I look around on this bridge and I'm like, some mystical shit's going on. And I start walking across the bridge. like the fuck? Like, just kind of like, well, yeah, this would happen to me. It was this close to the treasure.
And you just keep getting, like, zipped around the world. It's really happened a lot to you.
I feel like I'm, like, losing time. Like, is this...
Is Sully a time traveler?
Maybe. Is this, like, Memento? Do I need to start leaving notes for myself? Like...
Maybe. As you begin to cross the bridge, make a dexterity saving throw.
Son of a motherfucking bitch. Well, that's just a 2.
But you're very dexterous.
That is a saving throw.
Oh, I don't think that I'm that dexterous. Oh, dex, that's +7, that's 9.
All you hear as you step about halfway is the snap of one of the panels beneath you. And you fall through, make a dexterity check.
No! That's a 15.
Still falling.
Where's...
Just dexterity.
Oh, okay. 20.
And grab the ropes as you hear the rushing rapids below you.
I'm having the worst day.
Back to everybody else.
Okay, well, we have to figure out where Sully went. He just disappeared. That's not good. Also, what does in the graveyard 1, 2, 3 mean?
I don't know.
I don't like these talking skulls.
Yeah,
they're not very helpful.
Where do these talking skulls come from?
But our friend just went poof. Maybe we go poof too and we end up where he is.
What if he's somewhere really bad?
Well, then he probably needs our help. This is a great idea, Hillip. You're right.
Good point. Yep.
And I start going up the stairs.
Roll a d8.
You could poof somewhere else.
Well, I would try and rescue you, though.
You would.
8.
Cool.
Great.
I don't think it is cool.
I don't think it is.
So you make it up to the top of the stairs and you look down and you see the chest before you.
Oh. Well,
that doesn't sound overly, and I quote, cool.
Because he probably wanted me to end up somewhere bad, and instead I just made it. Okay, guys, good news, bad news. I didn't disappear. I don't know if that's good or bad. And here's a treasure chest.
Do we think Sully, like, touched the chest?
As Glim turns around and addresses you, Hillip and Moot, you see that Glim has grown a full bushy beard.
Cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Give
that is
Give some to Hillop. Hillop runs up the stairs. Hillop can use some.
Is it replenished your full luscious mane there, my dear?
Get up there, Hillop. It might do that for you, too.
Oh, my goodness. This is the best day ever. He runs up the stairs.
He runs up the stairs, and then you hear him scream, ah! As he begins to leap up the stairs. The two of you don't know why, but he jumps and goes over the side and grabs onto the edge. And is like, it's crumbling! Help me! Help me! You don't see it crumbling.
Hillop, it's... And I'll start to walk towards him to grab his hand, help him up. Like, buddy, it's not... Everything is very structurally sound. It's okay.
Be careful, my bearded friend!
And I'm like, bearded friend?
As you put your hands, you feel a large, bushy beard that has sprouted from your face.
Oh, my goodness. Am I able to go and help him?
You reach down and you manage to pull him up. And as you do, and as he steps back on top, he looks down and he says, but it was crumbling. Back to Sully.
Sully, so I'm hanging from these ropes.
Yeah, make a dexterity check to try and get yourself up.
Well, I was just going to, like, or try to call some bird friends.
Just do some pull-ups.
I mean, that is a classic halfling move to call in giant birds to save your ass.
Right?
I was thinking more like Disney princes, like, oh. I rolled a fucking plus five. That's a 7.
You reach up and try and pull yourself up, and another one snaps. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh my goodness.
The dice is retired.
That dice is not a good
one. Get it out of there.
That's a 7. No. That's a 9.
You fall into the river.
Roll for buoyancy?
And now you are in a river.
Oh no.
Which is moving reasonably fast.
Oh.
What do you do?
Did the cult give you any aquatic training?
It was a lot of aqua size.
Try to remember all my river training, and I just I make my surface area as big as possible, as little as I am, to try to stay afloat. Sure. You never put your feet down in a river because that's how you drown. And I try to, if there's any debris or any logs or anything rushing in this river with me, I will try to, like, clamber onto it so that I can stay afloat. Fuck this game.
There's nothing really around you. So you just float down the river?
Well, I guess since floating down the river, I mean, could be really great. Maybe instead I will throw a rope and try to, like, lasso a rock on the edge of the river?
Sure.
Maybe?
An athletics check, probably. Yeah, it's just maybe straight dex. That's probably fine.
Sure. Fuck everything and everybody. 11.
You manage to fasten a crude lasso of sorts and throw it, and it catches a rock on the side of the bank, and you begin to swing back and towards the edge. As you get closer to it, you can feel the floor beneath it, or feel the ground beneath the river, and it feels slower by the edge, so you can stand up. The face, I think we said, was about 20 feet up.
I sit down and I catch my breath for a minute.
Back to the... everybody else.
Back to the people not fucking everything up entirely.
I mean, I feel like we're fucking everything up entirely, too.
No, that's fine. I mean,
you, hey, one of you has really great beard.
I mean, we could just, we're up here now. Maybe we just, like, open the box?
Moot, do you? I'm going to stay down below after seeing weird things happening.
Okay, I'm just going to try and open it and just see what happens.
I mean, we don't know that Sully might have tried to open it. Like, we didn't see. I mean, it kind of makes sense that he would have run up here and opened it, so maybe you should.
Okay, yeah. He goes to lift the lid. And it opens up. And inside, there is a pile of gold. We found the gold! We lost a friend, but we found the gold.
Well, that's not a great trade-off.
As you say that, you hear a cackling laugh echo through the trees and the forest above you.
That sounds evil.
Back to Sully.
No.
No? Just no.
Pass.
Wait, we can do that?
Okay. No, I look back up at the cliff. God, like, Sully is so lazy. He does not want to fucking climb that goddamn
You've moved, cliff. Like, I don't know, 300 feet down this river at this point, too.
Oh, good. So I have to go 300 feet and then 20 feet vertical.
I mean, go vertical first and then 300 feet. But your call, whatever you want to do.
What kind of terrain am I looking at going vertical? Is it like foresty or like...
Well, it's a rocky kind of mud, you know, river carved straight cliff face with rocks and roots and stuff sticking out of it.
All right.
Looks fairly scalable.
Okay. I put my rope back into my pack and I start to scale this rocky ledge.
You, after a few long moments, manage to make it back up to the top. And as you step up and onto the edge, you hear an echoing, cackling laugh coming out and over the trees, and it seems to come down and envelop you, the sound.
Oh God, that sounds evil.
Cursed Are the Woods was part of today's adventure, created by Eric Dalek. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Visit creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0. The songs Long Road Ahead, Come Play With Me are by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All songs are licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0. Visit creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0.
Fuck this game.
Why'd you go over the bridge? You should have went over the log like we all did before.
Well, I forgot about that. I honest to God, had no idea where I was. You put me on a bridge. I'm like, I should better fucking move over this bridge. You're going to pass
those bees again, I think. Can't remember if they were before or after the bridge.
No, bees were long before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, well, yes, I should have.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Welcome to Magenta Presents, a new horror anthology hosted by me, Madam Magenta. We begin with the 5-part miniseries Ghosted, starring Beth Eyre and Lucy Roslin. Perched on a rain-battered cliff edge is a former lighthouse.
It's a charming, quirky boutique hotel.
Owner and sole occupant Beth has spent months renovating, absorbing its essence into her bones.
It's an old building. You'll get used to it.
But to Beth's horror, her first guest is a figure from a past she has tried to forget.
Kira?
Beth?
What the fuck?
Face to face for the first time in years, the pair must reckon with old mistakes, old grievances.
Beth, speak to me.
Shut up.
And something else.
Oh, I can't bear it. What is that noise?
Because the lighthouse has a past, too.
Beth.
He's right there. Why is there blood on your hands?
We need to get out of here.
Kira. Kira!
I can still see him.
Subscribe to Magenta Presents wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon, fans of the esoteric. Bye!
Magenta Presents.